Come on, turn with me. I love the word of God. Turn with me to Jeremiah 1:5. Let's get into things. Jeremiah 1:5 through 8. 1:5 through 8, the NIV version. If you got your Bible, pull it out. Got it. Snap your fingers when you got it. It's good. We're rolling. All right, Jeremiah 1:5 through 10. Here we go. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jesus so loves you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we invite you to continue. Lord, your work tonight, that we're not here for an experience, we're here for a transformation. We're not here just to go through the motions, but we're here to be instructed. We're here to be guided. We're here to be inspired so that we can walk into this world and conquer, into this world and have victory, into this world and be a light for your name. We thank you for what you're gonna do here tonight in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You know, I read through these scriptures, Jeremiah 1 through 5, 1:5 through 10, and I read through it and I can kind of relate. I mean, here's Jeremiah, he was a priest in the day, and all of a sudden, God knocks on his door and says, you're gonna be a prophet. And not just a prophet, and that man, he lived in some terrible times, man. He lived in some days that were chaotic. And so really, he was given the assignment, the task to be a prophet and go before the kings of the day and say, stop sinning, or my God's gonna come bring the rain down on you. My God's gonna come bring the fire, brimstone on you, the wrath of God, man, submit to God, you know? So all of a sudden, here you have Jeremiah, and all of a sudden, when he says, I called you, I knew you before you were born. I set you apart, I appointed you. And then, you know, Jeremiah responds and he goes, yes, sovereign Lord. Starts off really good by saying sovereign Lord and acknowledging God for who he is. But then, like a lot of us, when God steps into our world and knocks on our door, all of a sudden, He responds to God out of inadequacy and out of insecurity and says, yes, God, I don't know how to speak. I am too young. How can I possibly do what you've called me to do? How can I possibly take the step into my next that you're calling me to? The title of my message tonight, if you're taking notes, is Step Into Your Next. Step Into Your Next. And I can relate, and a lot of you could probably relate, you know, that when there's been moments and seasons of your life that God has knocked on your door and you may be here for the first time and you don't know Jesus, and that your next step is to know Jesus and receive him into your heart and as your Lord and your Savior. You may be in a business proposition or a crossroads where you need to take one turn or the next, and you're in a crossroads where God is asking you to step into your next. Or you may be a uni student and you're wondering, what is my next step, God? What is the goal that you have for my life, the dream? Unveil that to me. Show me what is my next step. Knock on my door like you did with Jeremiah. And I can relate to Jeremiah, and hopefully you can too. And if you can't relate, that most times when God knocks on our door and calls us, that we respond with that bit of insecurity, and we respond with a bit of, how can I possibly do what you've just called me to do? I remember, I've been here for a few years, moving over from the States, and I remember Pastor Mark calls me into the office, and he says, sits me down, and we'd had introduced a few songs to our church, a few songs, if you guys were back here in the day of 2004, some songs like Glory to God, and My Heart Burns, and Just What I Want, or Can't Contain, like, bop, like full on, what are those dudes called? Hanson Brothers. It was full on umbop styles, like. And I remember when he calls me in the office and he says, Aaron, I want you to record an album with the songs that we've been doing at church. You have 3 months to do it. Go. And I basically walked out of those that office, and all of a sudden, just like lightning, I was struck with insecurity. One side of me was excited and complete full of inspiration and the challenge before me. But then the other side of me was just struck with insecurity and how inadequate I was. I'm not capable of fulfilling what I've just been asked to do, the door that God has just opened. And I started comparing myself to others and are the songs even good enough? Do they match up to what's out there in the world? And I started, you know, relating myself. And it's funny that a lot of us, you know, can look at moments in our lives when God asks us to take this next step, when he asked us to step into something new and unknown, uncharted territory, and yet we step back like Jeremiah did and go, I'm inadequate, God. How can I possibly do that? I'm too young. You look across the Bible, even Moses in his day, when God raised him up through Egypt and he was raised under the Pharaoh, and man, he had it all. And then all of a sudden he killed a man and he took off and ran into the wilderness. And for 40 years he existed there until God showed up in a burning bush and all of a sudden, go set my people free. And the Bible says that Moses had a little bit of a tongue tie and a little bit of a lisp, you know? So you can imagine Moses responding to him, you know, like, hey, God, I can't really do what you asked me to do because I've got my tongue tied a little bit. I can't really speak properly. You know, God, who am I to go before the Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people out of Egypt? See, God, I can't even say the word Egypt. Like, I can imagine God just looking down at Moses going, hey, Moses, actually, you're right, bro. You're so right that I can't deliver you from that lisp. That's that bad. So I'm going to bring a man named Aaron to help you speak on your behalf. But even Moses, in response to God, a response of inadequacy, when he said, I want you to step into something powerful. I want you to step into something that is going to deliver the nation of Israel, that's going to free them from slavery. He responds, I can't speak. I've got a lisp. I can't speak. I can't do it. He responds out of that. And there's a call of God on your life this year to step into something brand new. There's a call of God on your life to step into a place of deeper faith, into a place of greater risk, of bolder, courageous outworkings of your life. God is knocking on your doors, and as I'm speaking right now, you can think of the thing that God has been prompting your heart, the business venture to step out on, or the new path, or the new direction in uni to start studying, or the different areas, running a life group in this church, or stepping up in leadership and putting your hand up and being a host, or getting involved and being planted in the house of God. And there's certain areas, but you shun back in insecurity. The thing is, what I love about God is that he's never done leading us. He's never finished forming us, shaping us, crafting us. He's never done with what he has in store for us. Can I just say, the what you dream, God wants you to take that 10 notches. What you see before you, he wants you to explode that, put it to the side, and receive tonight what he has in store for you in 2015, this year. I love that he is the author and the finish of our faith. Philippians 1:6 says that, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work. I'm telling you, there's a step that you need to take this year to step into your next. There are steps that you need to take, but there's a certain thing that I've learned across my journey with God that I believe that is gonna help you. A few points tonight that are gonna help you in this moment when God calls you, whether he's called you now or whether he calls you in a few months' time or whether he speaks something to you tonight just before you go to bed. I'm telling you, God is gonna ask you to step into something great and new and powerful. But we've gotta do some things in order to see ourselves become that. Number one is this, if you're taking notes. Number one is this, trade my insufficiencies for his sufficiency. Trade my insufficiencies for his sufficiencies. I love that the Lord said, you know, when Jeremiah goes, but I can't speak and I'm too young. You know, his excuses and excuses and excuses. And what God says is very nicely put. It says, but the Lord said to me, do not say. Basically, shut up, Jeremiah. You're not too young. You need to go to everyone I tell you, and whatever I command you, do not be afraid of them. Do not fear, for I am with you and will rescue you. Repeat that. For I am with you. For I am with you and will rescue you. So many times we think we're insufficient. So many times we think we lack. You know, it's like when I first started playing the guitar, I mean, I could barely stretch my fingers across 3 of the frets, let alone 6 of the frets in some of the chord shapes that you have to reach. Man, when I started singing, I was so insufficient. I was pitchy and I lacked breath, and you know, I get huffed and puffed, and I would get nervous on stage, and I was so inadequate to step out. And when God gave me the dream that I would be worship leading in front of thousands, and that, you know, raising up creative teams, you know, I was so inadequate. But it was in my doing to take what I had, take my insufficiencies to him, the sufficient one. It's like when Jesus, one of the greatest miracles is when Jesus and the disciples found a remote place, and then all of a sudden 5,000 people came around Jesus in that time, and Jesus, as a shepherd, had compassion on them because they didn't have a shepherd at that time, and started teaching them and sharing with them and loving on them. And that, you know, it started getting close to nighttime, and the disciples were like, "We've got to release these guys. They haven't been fed." And Jesus is like, "You know what? You feed them. You feed them." And then all of a sudden, the insufficiencies of the disciples, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. All we have, Jesus, is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it's just amazing that Jesus took their insufficiency, took their lack, and multiplied it to abundance, multiplied it to overflowing, where there was 12 baskets picked up afterwards. We've got to organize our lives so that we are taking our insufficiencies to God. To Jesus, that we are taking our insufficiencies to the sufficient one, that his grace is sufficient for you. God will give us his adequacy to step into our next if we yield our inadequacy to him. 2 Corinthians 3:4-6 says this: "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." The Spirit gives life. Let me tell you tonight, you are sufficient. You are sufficient to carry out the assignment that God has for you. Even though you have to run across the hurdles of inadequacy and insecurity, I'm telling you tonight that you, if you would just learn to take your insufficiencies to the all-sufficient one, anything is possible for you this year. Anything is possible for you. Any dream can be achieved. Anything is possible when we learn to bring it to God. See, I love David encouraged himself in God. Learn to go to that place where you know, I mean, if you read about in 2 Samuel, where in Ziklag, the city that where David just set up and was content, and you know, he'd been in the Philistine land for a long time, and all of a sudden he went back to his hometown, and his wife and all their children were stolen and taken away, and all of a sudden the closest to him, the leaders around him, his friends, all of a sudden turned against David, and his whole world erupted. His whole world turned upside down. And what did David do? In that moment, he could have easily turned to people pleasing. He could have easily turned to these men and just tried to cater and build favor with them again. But man, he turned to the sufficient one. He turned to God in that moment. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And he said, "You know what, God, I've got nothing left. What do I do in this moment? Speak to me, encourage me." Some of us have to continue daily to encourage ourselves and find ourselves lifted up in God, the sufficient one, in order to take the steps that God has for us. Number 2 is this: raise your sights. Everybody say, raise your sights. Raise your sights. See, God called Abraham as well, and Abraham responded with, I'm too old. Inadequacy, insecurity with his response to God. But I love what God says to Abram in Genesis 13. And he says this: "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, as for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. See, God is in the habit of issuing challenges like this. Some of you guys are in some of the most incredible days that God is asking you to raise your sights, that some of the most remarkable steps of your life are about to be taken if you would just raise your sights. You see, Abraham in that moment in time was very happy with just pastoring his flocks, with just having his small pasture to look after. But God wanted to give him all the land that stretches beyond the four walls of the compass. He wanted to give him far more, far greater than what he was expecting. Abraham just wanted a single child, but God wanted to make his descendants as innumerable as the dust of the earth. You see this, church, tonight? Small thinking and small expectations can limit God's ability to work on your behalf. You know what one of my goals this year is to not insult God with small thinking and safe living. I don't want to insult God with small thinking and safe living this year. I want him to raise my sights. Raise my sights, and not just raise them, but help me see the strategy to achieve them. Help me actually believe it, that it's not just a concept, it's not just a thing that exists, but it actually can happen. You know what I love? I love in the States, I'm not sure what the city or the town is, but in the city or town, they have a group called the DRT team. The DRT team, and see, the DRT team has been noticed by the city and its council, and so if you were to go onto the website, you'd actually see them listed as one of the programs that the city offers. The DRT team stands for the Dead Raising Team. The Dead Raising Team. That the city calls on these people because they've seen men and women that raise their sights, that don't just see the concept of Jesus saying you shall raise the dead as a concept, but they see it as a reality and see it that they can work it out as an experiential outworking in this actual reality that they're living in. The Dead Raising Team. What are your expectations for this year? What is your thinking towards God? You know, one of the ways to view your thinking and your expectations to God is to look at your prayer life. What are you praying? When you bring your menu before God, and God loves a menu, don't give it wrong. You know, don't let the enemy steal that thought to say that you can't bring your menu before God. He said, ask, ask, and ask. If it's according to my will, ask, ask, ask. What are you praying? I'm telling you, the moment you start praying for the lost of the city, your heart will start be connected to the lost. And then not just your heart is connected to the lost, then your actions will follow the heart and your connection, and you will start reaching out in your universities. You will start reaching out in your workplace. You'll start reaching out and you'll start inviting because your heart is connected and you're praying, saying, God, raise my sights. I'm praying for this city. I'm praying that this week I'll bring 20 of my friends from university here to this church. I'm praying that God will raise your sights this year. Raise your sights. Let him encourage you because something is remarkable is about to happen. He told Moses, raise your sights. Why? Because he was about to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, out of despair and darkness. God wants to raise your sights. What bar do you need to raise in your life? In your marriage, where do you need to raise your sights? With your parenting, where do you need to raise your sights? With your believing and your expectations of what God can do and is possible, where do you need to raise your sights? Because God wants you to step into your next realm of faith. He wants to step into your next realm of believing. There's a whole nother dimension if you would just raise your sights. He's after an expectation so strong that it absorbs all of your attention. Number three is this, to step into our next, in order for us to step into our next, you know, and when the call of God comes on us and he's actioning us and he's asking for us, when we step into our next, number three is this, create a new playlist. Create a new playlist. What do I mean by that? I love iPhones. If you know me, I am an Apple man all the way through and through. Jesus Christ would have used Apple and iPhones. If I would have my way, it's kind of cultish, but I'd probably send around buckets for every other phone so that we could dispose and just allow iPhone to infiltrate. For all of those that I've offended, you need to ask for forgiveness right now. Create a new playlist. Let me ask you this question. Who are you listening to? What are the greatest voices in your world? What are the greatest voices? What and who you listen to is who you are becoming. What and who you listen to is who you are becoming. You know, they've done studies, and the studies show that it is rare for you to rise above the five most dominant voices in your life. It is rare for you to rise above the five most dominant voices in your life. Imagine Joseph when he got the dream. The dream that he was so excited to go, brothers, you know, I had this dream that you guys were all bowing down to me, man. It was awesome. I'm the youngest, but, you know, God loves me the most, man. You know, and he full on declared to his brothers, but, you know, all of a sudden, when he declared and voiced his dream, instant resistance. Instant resistance, you know? As soon as God calls you to step into your next, there's gonna be voices that are gonna come against you and resist the call of God on your life. The enemy is gonna start chattering. People around you are gonna start getting jealous. Unfortunately, but there may be people close to you. There may be people that you love, but their voices will get strong. And I'm asking you tonight, in order for you to step into your next, you've gotta create a new playlist. You've got to create a new playlist. And I'm not just talking about your podcasts. Although it is very good to listen to the faith and allow your heart to be absorbed. And can I just say this? Allow your heart to be challenged and inspired by a lot of different speakers that carry a different heart for many different things. Like, your diet needs to be widespread. If you're just listening to get health books and health, you know, getting fit and getting fit and getting fit, I'm telling you that you're only gonna get so far. If you're just reading about prayer, you're only gonna get so far, but allow God to spread the diet. But let me tell you, create a new playlist. Allow God to start putting people in your life. You've gotta be praying for those mentors for you this season, the people that are gonna help you release you into your next season of life. There's a man in the book of the Bible called Paul who wrote most of the New Testament. Paul, who originally was Saul, and when he was Saul, he was a Christian murderer. He was a slayer of all those confessing the name of Jesus. And man, he had an encounter with Jesus on the road, and a light blinded him. And 3 days later, 3 days later, he awoke and was a new man, and came and rose up in this new life and this new confession that Jesus was Lord, and came out of this and was God changed his name from Saul to Paul, and he was a new man. But he went out with this good news and the word about Jesus, but was completely faced with opposition and resistance. Because everybody was fearful of this guy. They were scared that he was the man that used to murder. But it was because of one relationship in Paul's life that released Paul to step into his destiny. One relationship, a man by the name of Barnabas. A man by the name of Barnabas actually stood up for Paul, grabbed a hold of his assignment, went to the church of Jesus Christ at the time and said, you know what? This man is legit. You need to listen to him. What he bears is what Jesus has done in the testimony on his life. You need to listen to him. Can I just tell you, you may be just one relationship away from your destiny being altered. One relationship away from the destiny being altered. You need to change your playlist. Change the voices that you're listening to. If there is negativity and there's insecurity and there's inadequacy, even if there's people in your life joining in that conversation, thank you, goodbye, I'm stepping into my next and all that God has for me. Thank you and goodbye. Church, we cannot allow the voice to be dominant, the voice of the enemy, the voice of our friends that want nothing but to see us derailed and see God forward. I'm telling you, get around big-minded people. Get around big-hearted people. Find mentors and accountability in your lives so that you can step into your next. Number four is this. Everybody say, I'm with you. Step into your next. Number four is start operating in your next. Start operating in your next. I love this story. I don't know if this dude's a Christian, but a young man worked as a runner in an advertising firm in the States. And one day he said to his manager, he goes, I'm leaving. I'm gonna be a drummer. And the manager said, I didn't know you played the drums. And this guy replied, I don't, but I'm going to. And a few years later, it was actually 2 years later, that this young man ended up playing in a band with Eric Clapton and Jack Bruce. It was called Cream, if there's some Cream lovers in the house. And he became what he wanted to become. See, this is the thing. He became what he wanted to become before he knew he could do it. He had a dream. He had a goal. We have got to start to operate in our next. Start to operate in our next. David took what was in his hand. What was available to him was a sling and a rock. What was available to him was a harp. Out of all instruments, God, why couldn't it have been nice acoustic or you know, just at least something but other than a harp, but it was a harp. You know, but God took what was in his hands and started operating in his next. He didn't realize what he was doing with what he was actually training for. He didn't realize that through slaying the bear and the lion and through practicing and training on his harp every single day, worshiping and lifting up that sound to God, worshiping God on that harp, you know, whatever it looks like, you know, just sitting down and just harping it, you know. But he didn't realize that those moments of every day operating in his next, those moments of going, you know what, I'm becoming something. I don't know where my steps are. I'm a shepherd boy now. My dad's just asked me to become a mailman boy to go run mail errands. And then, you know, all of a sudden he was appointed king. And then appointed king, he went to the went in front of Goliath, took what he'd been training for, slayed the Goliath. And then all of a sudden it says that Paul, the Spirit of God left Paul. David was at his house. He found out that David was good at walking with the Lord and he was good at the harp. And all of a sudden, operating in his next allowed him the presence before a king. Operating in his next allowed him permission to step into the palace. Operating in his next allowed him automatic access into the next step that God had for his life. Operating in your next. But I can't speak. I'm too young. How can I possibly one day do that, God? How can I possibly preach in front of thousands? It's burning inside of me, but how can I possibly do it? You know what T.D. Jakes did? He actually preached in front of a tree for hours, just operating his next, knowing that door would open. Do you know what Kenneth Copeland did? One of the great men of faith. Do you know what he did? Didn't have Twitter or social media like Instagram or Facebook to get on. Didn't have conferences worldwide to go plug and pass out his card to be a preacher. He just studied, he researched, and he studied and researched, and he operated in his next. One day he woke up, he took a shower, got his clothes on, went and sat on the couch and just waited for the phone calls to start coming in because he knew that God called him to this, that he was a preacher of the gospel. And all of a sudden, one phone call came in from a friend of his and he never looked back. Operate in your next. What is your next? What does the next look for you, for your family, for your business? What does your next look for you, for your marriage, for your kids, with the ability that God has put on your life? What does that look like? Don't allow inadequacy or insecurity to rob you from fulfilling the assignment that God has put on your life. Don't allow God, the enemy, to rob you from the very identity that he's put within you. That Jeremiah, this is why God spoke to him. He says, before you were born, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. I set you apart. I formed you. He knew the details of your life, the existence, the very abilities that you would perform, the very passions that you would be inflamed with, the very thing that grabbed your attention, every second of the day. He knew those things. He set you apart. He appointed you. Guess what? There is no one auditioning for the role of Aaron Lucas. No one is in line knocking on the door. There's not thousands in line knocking on the door for this role of Aaron Lucas, because God does not come with options. He comes with one in mind, and that's you. And that's you, and that's you, to fulfill the things that God has put on your hearts, to advance his kingdom, to take his purposes further, to see this world, this city, become the city of God. Come on, allow God to allow you to start operating in your next. You know what I've learned over the years is, and this is to some of you guys tonight, but what you used to do won't get you to your next. What you used to do will not get you to your next. You've got to allow God to reboot you, to update your software, to raise your sights, to start allowing the voices of men and women that can speak life into you, that prophesy hope and future into your life, so that you can start operating in your next. I'm telling you, the old tools won't work. You'll get frustrated, and you'll come to a dry annoyance that what you are delivering is of no good and of no power. You've got to start operating in your next. Number five is this. As the worship team comes up, your next is now. Your next is now. Everybody say now. Mark 10, 52, it says this. And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." I love this. It says this. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. This scripture right here is talking about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, blind, broken, outcast, shoved to the side of the road. Beggar just to survive. Beggar just to live out a mundane existence. A beggar just to see the sun rise and the sunset. Come on, just sitting on the side of the road. And Jesus comes and says, "Go, your faith has made you well." And what did Bartimaeus do? He did not hesitate. He didn't step back in his inadequacy and his insecurity and go, "Who? What's going on?" No, it says immediately he regained his sight and began to follow Jesus. Immediately, Bartimaeus, and I should say, which of these two phrases best describes your life? Are you still sitting on the side of the road with excuses? Are you still sitting on the side of the road, living out this mundane existence, living out and happy with just a horrible survival mode of life? Or are you allowing Jesus to come, the Comforter, allowing Jesus, the Restorer, the Redeemer, the Savior? Are you allowing Jesus to come and pick you up where you are, in your brokenness, in your mess, in your hurts? Are you allowing him to pick you up and allow you to just run and follow him? "But I can't, Jesus. I'm still dealing with this sin. How can I possibly follow you if I'm still dealing with this sin?" God didn't ask you to get over your sin and be perfect and for you, in order for you to step out and follow him, to take the next step and immediately step out and follow him. He didn't ask you to be perfect. Man, if I could just tell you, there are so many of us not perfect. But yet Jesus, in his imperfection, Bartimaeus, "Get up, come follow me." There's only one way to follow Jesus this year, to take another step, and that's to actually get up and immediately go. The alerts, the sound of the alarm has gone off. The whistle has been blown. Jesus said, "Rise up and go." Get up and go. Take the next step. And when you've taken that step, take the next step. Jump over the hurdle of insecurity. Jump over the hurdles of inadequacy. Push aside the voices on the sideline that may be screaming against you, that you're gonna lose, that you'll never fulfill it, that you're never gonna amount to anything. Push aside those voices and stay clear to the one voice that is calling you forward, saying that, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, that I will always be with you, that I will deliver you, that I will rescue you, that I will pick you up." When you fall on the side of the road, when you lose your sight for the purposes and visions that I have for you, when you are destroyed and at your worst, I'm the one to grab you, hold you, pick you up so that you can be restored and once again follow after me. You don't need an action plan. You don't need a strategy. You don't need to read the greatest self-help book, 21 ways to doing this or that or leadership of following Jesus. I mean, Leonardo da Vinci didn't ask for permission to paint. U2, Bono from U2 didn't ask for permission to start the bands. Peter didn't ask for permission to step out of the boat when Jesus said, come. I've got some, wait, the revelation, guys, ready? 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 I give you full permission to start following Jesus. I give you full permission to start following Jesus, to take this next step, to step into your next level, your next realm, your next dimension, that place where God can craft you to maximize your influence, your potential. I love that Jesus loves us, that he's so passionate about you fulfilling your dreams. You know why? Pastor Mike said this morning, it just stirred my heart, that he wants you to be attractive to this world. He wants you a victor. He wants you a more than an overcomer, a conqueror, an achiever, to set out on unknown charts and say, you know what, I'm going after this goal. I'm going after this dream. And God's gonna say, you know what, you're gonna fulfill it if you just allow the Spirit of God to direct you and guide you and be the voice that takes you there. And it's gonna be one of the greatest testimonies that people are gonna be so attracted to you, they're gonna wanna come and pick the fruit off of your tree. They're gonna come and wanna sit at your feet and hear of your counsel and the wisdom that God has put in your hearts.